Blog Talk Radio.
On January 30th, 2013, January 30th, 2013, Jerry just called me a few minutes ago to say he's going to be late. You know what? The first show I ever did, I started talking, and it's totally silent here. I'm by myself, and it's hard to believe that anybody's out there, and you kind of choke. And I didn't get to chat with him right up to the start of the show. I have that same feeling today, even after almost 6 years. But I do have something to say. If you want to get an archive of your Twitter postings for no matter how long you've been on and no matter how many Twitter postings you've got, it's now very easy. It's finally very easy. Why it took this long, I don't know. But you just go to the Twitter website, go to the bottom of the settings page, settings, and you see a little button there. You send them a request. A few minutes later, they send you a zip file. I haven't opened mine yet, so I don't know if it's good, but I assume it is. That's point number one. Has anyone else told you that? I don't think so. Point number two, I tried a new kind of file this week called Deja Vu, and I was looking at a book of pictures, an old book, and they offered it in a PDF file format and Deja Vu, and I never knew what Deja Vu was, but it was much better than the PDF. And to get it, you go to djvu.org, djvu.org, and it, boom, it opened really fast, and the pictures were beautiful. So you might want to try that. And finally, I also learned something about recruiting this week. I learned that I'm a reactionary recruiter, It sounds very political, but that's not what it is at all. A reactionary recruiter is one who tries to fill an opening that actually exists instead of an opening that doesn't exist, an opening before it exists. You see, this recruiter advises on his blog that he prefers to work closely, he says, with his clients on a proactive human resources plan. This gives him the opportunity, he says, to study the candidate market in advance and have candidates in the pipeline whenever the position becomes available. But there's a funny thing about this blog posting. There's a funny thing about it. There's not one example on it, not one. This guy says he prefers to work with his clients in a strategic relationship, but he can't supply one example, let alone the 20 we would really need to know that he's doing a lot of business, a lot of business this way. Now, I guess he's just putting it there for the suckers, his clients, to say, oh, man, this guy's doing it. Let's do it with him. I don't think they're going to. Anyway, he must see the other, you know, the other implication is that we're idiots. Maybe the clients are. I don't know. What else can I say? I guess that's it. Yeah, if you're coming on this show, you got to have lots of examples. And Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show! You're welcome.
Okay, Jerry, we got a special guest today, a famous guest, one of the superstars.
I know it, man. I'm kind of, slightly nervous, but I'm trying to get over it.
Yeah, okay. He's Matt Charney, dude. Yeah, he's one of the superstars of corporate recruiting.
Yeah.
One of the superstars. He's so famous that when I met him here in Toronto, he bought our drinks.
Seriously?
He had an expense account to buy our drinks.
Yeah.
He bought a lot of drinks. I wasn't drinking. I was drinking
top shelf, dude. Top shelf.
He bought, everybody drank Irish car bombs. The Irish guy was there teaching us how. And I think Matthew Charney bought them. Okay.
Did he drink a lot? I mean, how did the night go?
I didn't stay that long. I'm not into the bombs, okay? Anyway, but you know what? He's not a third-party recruiter. So I have to apologize to all the people who only like to hear third-party recruiters on this show. Go away. Don't listen to this one. Don't listen, okay?
I don't like that term, though, third party. That makes it seem like you're not involved, like you're outside with your face pressed up against the window looking in to see what's going on.
I got news for you, Jerry.
Yeah.
Matt, one of the topics we're going to talk about with Matt Charney says that's exactly what we are, and we're not even going to get up to the window pretty soon. Okay? Yeah. Do you have anything
bring
you want
it
to
on,
say to
man.
Matt?
Bring it on.
Matt? Do you want to advise Matt about anything so he won't crash and burn and get chopped off like mincemeat in the after show?
No, let's just see what unfolds here.
Okay. Matt Charney, are you there?
I am, Animal. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Much better than I did the other day. Now, you told me that you don't like me on my show, but you thought I was tolerable in person. Is that because you don't like shouting or something like that?
No, I just I found you to be an excellent conversationalist in a one-on-one setting when you didn't have an audience that you were trying to do it for.
I don't think I said anything. That Johnny was teaching everybody how to drink, the Irish guy, who's gone. He, by the way, he's not drinking anymore. He told Jerry and I that, right? Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, congratulations on that, Johnny Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll believe that when I see it. Yeah.
Guess what he told us. Okay, Matt. You know what? When I first looked at your LinkedIn profile, I couldn't understand what you did. So why don't you tell us? This is your elevator speech. Go ahead.
So my elevator speech is basically this. I am an online marketer with a strong recruiting background whose expertise is in taking the value proposition of HR vendors, technologies, employer brands.
You know what?
And
you're losing
looking
us already.
Seven buzzwords so far in that. Seven.
Yeah, we can't handle it. I mean, tell us in real language. I'll read it and you explain it, okay? Matt Charney was the senior manager of social media and online brand at Cornerstone On Demand, a global enterprise SaaS cloud computing company where he oversaw all elements of global digital and social media brand marketing, engagement, and thought leadership. You were responsible for thought leadership. He spent before that 2.5 years as social media engagement manager at Monster Worldwide, where he managed business-to-business social media engagement. I think that means he bought us drinks, okay? See, that's what I want to know.
Yeah,
what does it mean, okay? Before that, he began his career as a who's doing that with the phone, okay?
Oh, my God, my phone rang. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. He began his career as a corporate recruiter, leading full-cycle in-house recruiting and managing social recruiting and online employment branding again at Warner Brothers and Walt Disney. And he recently made the HR Examiner as the number 2 online recruiting influencer. Sorry, he's done so much, and I don't know what any of it means. Go ahead, please, tell us.
Hey, in the most simple terms,
please.
People like you, Animal.
Canadians.
Canadians, yes, exactly. Yes. Much like my current employer. I love you guys, by the way, despite my trash talk.
Hey.
But that said, so people like you, Animal, have a reach to an audience of recruiters, right? So that said, I sell in the recruiting space. So therefore, it behooves me to do things like buy you drinks, go have walks on Bodega Beach with John Sumser, et cetera, et cetera. So
sounds
basically,
hot. Sounds hot.
My job is to make you guys happy on a friendship basis, and so that I buy the credibility at the end of the day in order to sell a product. But that product is never part of the sale. The sale is done based off of the relationship. I develop those relationships on a scalable basis, particularly with those people who are actually influencers within the space.
So then, are you really just, quote, friends with all of us just so you can jam your product in our face? Because I see a lot of that happening, and frankly, I'm about sick of it. It's happened five times today to me. I'm tired.
I am not.
I'm worn out, man. I'm just worn out.
No, I understand completely. And so I think it may have been Jeff Webb at that same Toronto event who said something that has always kind of stuck with me, believe it or not. Which
he
is
said some things that have
sell,
always stuck with me, too.
You can sell by simply being the smartest person in the room. Animal, if you have ever encountered me, anyone who's really heard me present at a conference or a coffee clutch or whatever knows this, and that is that I am a recruiting geek. I, for some reason, am interested in this field and the implications and behaviors and, you know, all the cool stuff that comes with people finding work. That started when I first read a book by Studs Terkel called Working. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's an absolute classic. And
classic.
Yeah, and I and
Animal
and
is not
book,
familiar
you know?
With Working.
Okay.
So essentially,
you know
what
this comes down to, I've got to tell you, the guy spent $3 on a glass of ginger ale for me, and I still feel good about it 2 years later. I mean,
okay, then you ought to buy whatever product he subliminally puts on your plate, dude.
I got to tell you what he told
Jerry,
me.
Jerry,
like $3 ginger ale.
$2 ginger ale made him feel that good. Can you imagine what a woman would do for him?
He goes to Starbucks on Friday mornings. He doesn't need anything more than that.
There's a he said there's a social media analytic tool called Radian 6, and I come up on that as the most influential recruiter in social media. It's unbelievable because I'm way behind everybody else everywhere else. Is that true, Matt?
No, that's absolutely true. The
finally
very
number
the
one
very
somewhere.
Yeah, the very first day I was at Monster, before I, you know, I'd come out of a corporate recruiting background, I didn't know any of the analysts, influencers, players. I was handed a list that was developed off of Radian 6 by Omnicom, which is a global, you know, brand monitoring and ad agency. And it had the top 50 people who we should be targeting as influencers. Based off their metrics, Animal, you were number one by, you know, leaps and bounds. But I will say, with the caveat, that the way that influence, even on clout, for what that is worth, which is not much, is determined by engagement and volume, both of which I think we agree that you're very, very good at. So, you know, in as much as I make any influencer list, it's just because I tweet a lot and have a lot of conversations online.
Yeah, but how come if I'm on that list, no one's throwing money at this show? Didn't you tell me I'm kind of a hands-off person because I'm too provocative?
Well, I think the reason that people aren't throwing money at your show is just that. Corporations who spend money on things like TalentNet, for example, do so with the expectation that they can control the content. I think that your show would lose its essence if you were to accept corporate sponsorship, because then you'd have some brand or PR person like me telling you what you can and can't say. So that's absolutely the reason. The no holds barred.
So
bar
now you've just shown another side of yourself. You're kind of a commissar as well. Once someone, you know, falls for whatever you're offering, you know, the ginger ale or as Mike said, a hooker maybe, then you get in there and say, this is what you're going to do. You're ours now, right? We own you. Is that what happens, kind of?
No, that's not what happens at all. I spent, again, almost 3 years at Monster. I never once tried to sell that particular product to any individual.
Is that why you're not there anymore?
No, I'm not there anymore because of a variety of reasons. But that said, my job at Monster, which is almost equivalent to my job at Warner Brothers and Disney, just with a little bit different scope, obviously the job boards are dead, perceived as dinosaurs. They're a non-viable tool. In order to enter the dialogue as a viable brand that is actually staying on the cutting edge of the conversation and the industry, Blind Gardener is a great example. Just being there, just participating in the conversations, positions a company as being part, and I hate to use this word, and we'll get into it later, but as being part of the larger, the community or ecosystem of people within the industry. So
okay,
it's,
listen,
it's not
remember,
about
hold on
it's not about
hold on. I didn't expect to be going here, but remember, I think last year Danny Schwabel, he wrote an article on Forbes, job boards are dead, LinkedIn is in. I don't you know, and I didn't see you all over him for that. Some of us were. Chris Hoyt was. He wasn't getting paid to do it. How come you weren't in there fighting with a guy like that? Maybe you were not at Monster anymore. Is that the answer?
No, it's not. So part of what I think it takes to be successful, it's certainly social for a brand, but also marketing communications and public relations, is knowing what conversations not to get involved in. So if I were to go into an article like Dan's blog, or, you know, on personal branding blog and comment in some way, if I'm doing that as a representative of the brand, I A, obviously have a very clear agenda, but more importantly, I'm giving credence to an argument. And so,
it wasn't on his, I don't know if people, tell me if this is boring. It wasn't on his blog. It was on Forbes. And he's there telling everybody just what you mentioned. Job boards are dead. People believe it. This is an expert telling them, right? And
people also
you fight
with
a guy like that. We know
yeah,
it was nonsense.
So, yes, so you're hitting a sensitive topic with me here, which is to say that there are, as you know, an infinite amount of people, particularly on the career advice side of the house, who they say those who can't do teach, and I think those who can't find a job teach career development. So I think that people whose agenda is personal branding, right? He's the person who ostensibly invented that odious term. If I'm Forbes, I'll take content for free all day, just like I did at Monster. I mean, Forbes does not pay its contributors. They trade for exposure. So that said, you know, if I could write any sensational story and give it away for free, does that validate my opinion? Probably not. It just means that I'm not getting compensated.
You know what? I don't know
right?
what you're talking about.
I know exactly what he's talking about.
And Jerry, I'm surprised you're not pushing back because you hate this kind of stuff. So how are you sitting there quiet?
Sometimes the key to my success has been listening. I'm listening, okay? I'm not here to just get up in the guy's face like some jerk from New Jersey.
So,
okay,
so today is a different
anybody,
day
okay,
for
we're
going
to move on. Does anybody else have something to say about this, what he does?
Can you summarize it in two sentences? What was the last thing that you got paid to do?
Man. The last thing that I got paid to do
yeah.
was to
What's
develop
the, what was the expectation of the last check made out to you?
Good question, Jerry.
That
First
I
time
would,
ever.
Okay. The expectation for my paycheck mm-hmm. is that I am generating impressions for our brand, engagement with people who are in talent acquisition or recruiting decision-making roles, mm-hmm. and that the traffic to our web properties and leads that are being generated as a result of content go into our Marketo system so that they can get called.
Okay. Now that was a good answer.
How about, is that lead generation through social media? Is that fair to encapsulate it? Jerry, does that sound good?
Seems like it, yeah.
Anybody
so
else
what are your products then? Because I still don't know what Talent Technology Corporation's products are.
So
and you're allowed to say it, so you're allowed to say so here.
Yeah, so I actually, this was the first company that I joined because I saw the product and thought, okay, this I can actually sell, as opposed to some of the other former employers who we've named. So what it essentially does is it's middleware for an applicant tracking system. Excuse me?
I've seen it, Matt. I had a demo. I can give you – well, go ahead.
Yeah, so it's middleware for an applicant tracking system, more or less. But essentially what it does is it makes an applicant tracking system and the open web integrate and also searchable. So let's say when I was at the Walt Disney Company, we had 800,000 resumes coming in a year, all going into an unsearchable brass ring system, right? And then we go and pay agencies money to find a lead that we already have. So essentially what telemetry is able to do is it's able to take that database and make it searchable and stackable against requisitions in an easy way. It also makes it easy to distribute jobs. It makes it easier for candidates to apply because it adds functionalities like apply with LinkedIn, apply with your Google profile, things of that nature to an otherwise onerous process. The other thing that we do is resume parsing and extraction. We white label to some of the largest ATSs in the world, and we process 80 million resumes a year through our technology.
Okay, now I know. I heard enough of that, okay? I mean, I'm kind of losing my audio.
And you're the guy out there getting traffic and taking long romantic walks with John Sumser, buying ginger ale with Animal. That's what you're doing for this place.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Cool.
What I'm doing I am paying attention to the people.
We know what you're doing
matter.
Already. We know enough. I didn't want to go on this long, okay?
Evan, cut off!
No, the job search coach, he's saying, what's the show about? Walt Disney. He doesn't know,
tell him to turn,
okay?
Tell him to turn it on and he'll find out.
Have him listen.
And he wants me to promote. You know what? Job search coach. I'm just going to screw it up. Anyway, I posted a number of times a good article from the Globe and Mail about the new BlackBerry that you want me to promote. Okay? So just look at my stream, and you'll see some good stuff. I don't have to do it here for nothing. Let BlackBerry pay me. Okay? I'm the number one on Radian 6. Someone should be paying me for something. Okay? Anyway, look. You want to sing? Oh, let's forget the singing for now. Okay, let's move on. Corporations are hiring headhunters from companies like Heidrick and Struggles, and they're bringing them inside, and they're saving millions of dollars. But I'm having trouble, apparently, understanding how headhunters can move inside to be corporate recruiters because the money is so, as far as I can see, unimpressive. Now, this is
not for most of them.
Not sometimes.
That's what I do for a living, Animal. I go into companies and build corporate recruiting departments. That's a very common occurrence, and the money can be strong.
Mike A. Stringer, you don't go in as an employee. Just let me finish.
Finish. It's my show now, damn it.
Companies have been hiring washed-up recruiters for forever, since the first recruiter got washed
up
and somehow landed an HR job.
It's not a matter of it. And Animal, first of all, I am not going in as an employee, but I am putting recruiters that ultimately, in a lot of cases, do convert to employees. And it's absolutely not washed-up recruiters. Not everybody wants to be a Jerry Albright.
I'm talking about the companies hiring the guys from Heidrick and Struggles. They're not going in there with a corporation with a pipelining and talent strategy. They're just going in for a salaried job.
It depends how they comp them, Jerry.
I understand that.
Okay, let me finish. At a company like Heidrick and Struggles or Korn Ferry, they've got a very severe hierarchy. The people who make the money are the people who sell the business and do the client relationship. Then they just hand it off to some gopher to do all the research on the companies and the candidate research and sourcing and development. These guys, all they do is they get a short list. So I'm imagining it's the underpaid guys who can really do the work who are getting recruited away into the corporations, and they're leaving these big shots with their fancy everything and fancy offices. They can't do a search themselves. They can sell one, but they can't do it, and they're left with nothing because their people are getting pulled away from them, the underlings. Is that correct, Matt?
No, it's not. And actually, it's interesting that you bring this up because agencies are actually starting to hire, as I'm seeing, a lot more like a corporation would for a recruiter. I'll give you an example. I interviewed with, did not take, a job that's still out there. Korn Ferry has decided that they need somebody to manage, quote, a talent community of their placed executives in order to generate referrals and leads for their open positions. That position would not have existed in an executive agency, an executive search agency like Korn Ferry, if they did not believe that social media, employer branding, and all that was eroding their base. And corporations are doing it, right, one of two ways. One is the RPO model. So RPO, you're a third-party recruiter. You're embedded within the organization, however, you know, and so there's that model, which is what I came up with. The other is the fact that I think that for a lot of people who are making the move from an agency side in-house, you know, I think that the stability of being able to know and represent a brand and a company's culture are equally important now to candidates as are the qualifications on a resume. If I'm a recruiter and
mean?
I go into...
What does that mean? I want to say hello to Kelly Dingy.
Let me tell you this,
a regular listener. Google Plus just told me that Kelly Dingy actually is listening to the show today just because of you. So tell her something worthwhile that she can take away with her, okay?
And I just want to... Can I elaborate real quick on what he just said?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, Jerry also seems, you know, guys like Jerry have the impression that going and being a corporate recruiter is a $30,000 a year job, and that's just not the case. Many corporate full-time recruiters are making in excess of six-figure income, so
really?
If they can get in, if they can get, listen, Jerry, if they can get into a corporation and like we just said, get to know the brand, and that's something that's important to them, and have a better life-work balance, and be able to do the thing that they continue to love to do.
You're saying going into a corporate setting is a better work-life and balance than working as an agency person?
In my opinion,
I'll give you a chance to redact that. You wouldn't want that going out on the airwaves. Because that is an absurd statement.
That working full-time in a corporation does not offer a better work-life balance?
Yeah.
GE has 500 recruiters. They've got 500 internal recruiters. And they filled, in 2012, 25,000 openings, primarily, it sounds like, using LinkedIn and branching out. And not only that, they completed the searches in 73 days, compared with an average of 170 days that it takes for the external recruiters. They said they'll still use external recruiters, but only if the search is confidential or very specialized. They say we're going to get cut out, except for, you know, very exotic searches in the future.
They also outsource a lot of their stuff to your friend, Animal.
Who's my friend?
And you wanted me to get specific examples. I'll give you one.
Yeah, go ahead. I forgot about you.
I came
you have to make bold statements. Look, Kelly Dingy is listening to the show. She's not a regular. You want her to come back? Tell her something clear and strong, okay?
Okay, so here's this. Essentially what executive recruiters, in my experience, are paid to do is to present candidates that are fully screened, vetted, and essentially you're sourcing and qualifying a candidate that's going to be presented to a hiring manager, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
You can hire a bank full of college students to sit there dialing for dollars through LinkedIn, resume databases, et cetera, and they can do more or less the same scaled pre-qualification and vetting as somebody who you're paying 25% placement fee to. I've seen it. That's the model that I came up through, was an entire bank full of people doing that for Deloitte and Edward Jones. All college grads, none with recruiting experience. It's a volume game.
Can I just say that I'm doing that at a client right now, that the office that I'm sitting at as we speak, I am bringing a young salesperson who is knocking it out of the park, who wants to do something different, and I'm training him to be a corporate sales recruiter for this organization.
So last week we had on a guy who's, according to the newspapers in England, he makes $300,000 a year. He's a retained executive search recruiter, and he says – if an ordinary person like that calls up an executive, they're not going to respect the person. Also,
correct.
They won't have enough. They won't have enough market knowledge to rebut any biases against the company or stuff like that. These people are not well informed enough and not talented enough or quick enough on their feet.
Absolutely correct. That
absolutely
guy is right on the money.
Because it's not needed when you're not a third-party recruiter, because there's automatically more acceptance when you call up representing the company that you work for.
Oh, really?
That is spot on. That's right. And so so you don't need to have the credibility if you're calling with an organization.
So there's more credibility representing one company than all potential companies? Bullshit.
Absolutely.
That's
100%.
Absolutely correct. And here's
100%.
The other
wrong-o, people. Wrong. I guess it's all in how you approach it.
So here's the
thing.
If a candidate, asks you, as a third-party recruiter, what's it like to work at that company? Can you give them an honest answer? You can't. You haven't lived through that. And that's
If you're a third party, if you're a recruiter on the inside and you're recruiting somebody for an engineering job, let alone a CFO job, do you really know what it's like for them? I read your article. Resume Strategy told me not to say this, but you said when you're talking about employment brands, you can go into the office, and there's everything fantastic there for the executives. They have gyms and everything. But if you go out to their office on the runway where they're shipping stuff, it's just a crappy, awful place. So there's a real class system.
Right. They've bought their own story here, Animal. Don't pop their balloon.
No, you know what? Absolutely. You know what? If you're a corporate recruiter working at that company every single day, there's no way that Jerry Albright can tell me that he's got more knowledge of the culture and what it's like to work at that company that he may have visited once, that he may have two consultants working
at. I'm in a better position to not have to lie about what a shithole it is.
Well, you know what? I don't want to have that problem.
Well, Jerry, you're one of the 5%. Where a lot of the people, admit it, Jerry, a lot of the folks that don't listen to this show that are part of the 90% are the ones slinging it and giving us a bad name because we represent it correctly and all the, many of the others don't.
Don't get caught up in all that. I don't care what anybody else is out there doing.
But here's the other thing you got to take into consideration, Jerry. You and I started in this business. You started a few years after I did, but we started in a much different time in this business.
When did you get started, Mike?
What's that?
When did you get your start?
This is my 21st year.
Yeah, I'm rolling into number 27, big boy. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway.
Go ahead. Old timer.
When we started in this business, it was a much different business. Today, the vendors that I work with and kick off my vendor list every single day, I get on the phone with their candidates. They barely know my company name. They barely know what I do here. They barely know any – they don't get as involved as we used to. So the point of the matter is these recruiters are doing exactly what you're criticizing that corporate model for doing. They're picking up the phone. They're going on Monster, whatever they're doing. Hey, this guy looks like he's got the skill set on paper. Let me blast him over to this company and let the company spend the time explaining who we are, what we do,
right,
and all that.
Right, but don't those people eventually end up getting culled from our industry? I mean,
the problem is, Jerry, that in markets like Boston, where the software industry in Boston is so hot, if a shitty recruiter here can happen to be the first one to get a resume and get it over to a company, guess what? They earned the fee, and it's so competitive and so hot here right now that we're going to pay fees to get the right people in the door.
Yeah, well,
okay,
then you're encouraging the problem. You're rewarding.
Okay, let me move on. The point is the big recruiting firms, executive search firms, they're diversifying. They're getting out of recruiting into consulting. They're buying other firms for huge amounts of money that do talent assessment. I guess that's testing. And they consult on succession planning and all kinds of coaching and things like that. They're moving away. Okay, Heidrick bought a company called Sendelaney Leadership Consulting Group. It's a culture shaping and executive assessment consultant. They're culture shapers, really. We could do that, I think. I don't know what it is. But anyway, they're moving out of our business because they see the money's disappearing. They also said, this article, that there's a price war now between these recruiters. They're knocking their prices down so people will still use them. Matt, I'm going to you. Is all that true? Still with us, Matt Charney, the guest? Am I still on?
You're still here.
You're still there.
Well, where's Matt? Is anybody? Oh, I guess he's busy with commerce like Jerry usually is.
I guess This just became the Jerry Albright Mike Astringer show.
Okay, well, cool.
Yep. We'll keep you on during the transition for knowledge transfer, but that shouldn't take long.
The guest. He didn't sound like he was washing his dishes or anything like that. We've had that in the past. Where did he go?
He's probably going to call back in. What's his area code?
I don't know. 213.
213?
No, it was on his tweet. I thought it was 718.
Hey, that was an animal.
206?
Oh, that was
Are you
Mike.
Back, Matt? Are you here again?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what happened to you?
So my VPN times me out of 24 hours, and apparently it's been 24 hours, I have to be logged into my VPN in order to use my desk phone. The wonders of technology.
Would I buy anything from anybody who cannot manage their VPN? Just saying.
What's a VPN?
Not a bad point.
Yeah.
Not a bad
point. You know,
okay.
It's my problem. I apologize.
Did you hear all that, or do I have to say it quickly again?
If you could reprise that.
Yeah, the big companies are getting out of recruiting. They're buying a lot of consulting firms for succession planning and talent assessment and leadership coaching and culture shaping. Is that true? Do you have personal knowledge of that? Because we just read it.
I
don't know if you don't know, okay? Don't fake it here.
I'm not faking it. From my experience and from my inbox of job opportunities that are sent to me, I think that a lot of the functions that used to be housed in recruiting are being outsourced. I think that that is a significant trend.
I didn't say anything about that. I said they're moving out of the recruiting firms are also moving out of recruiting into other fields. Just say, you know what, recruiting animal, I don't know anything about that. I don't know everything, and I'm not going to pretend I do, okay? Because I don't want to look stupid in front of your audience, okay?
Hey, animal.
What?
Animal, my kids just want to say hi real quick. Just real quick.
Okay.
This is a big break for them. Real quick.
Okay.
Hi. Hi, animal.
What's your name?
My name's Reagan.
Reagan. I talked to Rito. I never talked to you before, have I?
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
nice to meet you, Reagan.
Is she the
nice
bill
to meet
collector,
you too.
Jerry? Is she the bill collector?
Hey, animal.
Hi, who's this?
Reed.
Hi, Rito, how are you? Say hi
Reed.
To my audience, and then I'm sorry, we're in the middle of a heated argument. I can't have a tiny talent time right now, okay?
Okay.
Another day, you'll sing with me, okay?
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Okay, I want to do some, thank you, bye-bye. I'm going to do some station
identification. Sorry about that.
How did a guy like Jerry get such sweet kids? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? So, listen, Matt Charney, if people just want to, you know, we're talking to Matt Charney, the famous Matt Charney. You know, he's like a, I don't want to say, I don't know, he's a schmoozer, a professional schmoozer. That's what it sounds like to me. So, where, if people want to find you, you're at mattcharney.com. That's your own blog. Is that right?
That is an aggregate for all the stuff that I write. I would say the best way to find me is on Twitter.
And that's MattCharney, Matt Charney, right?
That's correct.
Is the show over?
I just thought,
man,
you know,
it sounds
kind of
like a wind down, man. You're,
no, it isn't. It's a station identification at midpoint. I feel like sometimes I talk for an hour, and I never tell anybody who really I'm talking to. I thought I'd give Jerry
the recruiter.
Sometimes
you talk for an hour, and you don't say a damn thing.
That's true. JerryTheRecruiter.com. Okay, JerryTheRecruiter.com. That's Jerry Albright. Mike A. Stringer. What's your website now, Mike?
HumanCapitalConsultants.com.
Still the same. Anybody
Not
else want to?
Not memorable.
Anybody else want to give out their coordinates while I'm doing that? Your last chance. I don't usually do it, unfortunately. Anyway, okay. So now we're going to go to another topic. You know, I didn't realize that, I mean, he seems kind of mature, Matt. I didn't realize he's in Gen Y, and then I had to realize this morning Gen Y isn't funky anymore. They're older now, so he's 30
That's
years
right.
old. And so
but
he's got a lot of ideas, though. He's got a lot of ideas about how to present to Gen Y. Am I right about that, Matt?
Well, I think that other than defining a category of age demographically, the stereotypes that are broadly associated with talking about Gen Y and Gen Y in the workforce doesn't exist. I think generational theory is largely bullshit. So
great. But then you go ahead and send me an article where you say this is specifically how you present a job to Gen Y and that they're different from everybody else because of the history they were born into. You say that if you're talking to Gen Y, and sorry, resume strategy, the guy is not doing it himself. I have to say what he said. He said you have to spell out the candidate's unique experience and talents and show how they will contribute to the organization. You have to show how important this person is going to be to the company, the impact they're going to make. This is really important to these guys who don't have any experience and talent, or maybe they do by the time you're age. I don't know. Anyway, and you also have to focus.
I think that. So here's the thing. Isn't that true for every generation? Isn't creating a personalized experience and showing how somebody's going to contribute to an overall company and have areas for growth and development and learning, how is that specific to Gen Y? Yes, I can apply it to that demographic, but everything that I talk about Gen Y is the same for every worker. What's ascribed to Gen Y is a type A personality, essentially. That is not limited to a specific age demographic.
No, here's what you say. You say you have to really focus on immediate learning opportunities, the ability to acquire new in-demand skills, because they know they're not going to be there too long. And if you tell them you're going to map a career for them, they know that's baloney. They don't go for that. They want an immediate hit, right? That's what you said. Go ahead.
Let me clarify. That is also specific for anyone of any generation who's entering the workforce, right? Like the age of I'm going to stay at this company, grow, retire, and get a gold watch after 50 years, that's done, animal.
Okay.
So therefore, I think that everyone's expectation of tenure as we look at that number shrink is changing. If you're starting out your career, you obviously are looking more at the short game than the long game.
So what do you have to do? You have to get on the phone with somebody, anybody, not just Gen Y, and say, look, if you spend 3 years at this company, this X, Y, and Z is going to look really good on your resume. Because that's essentially how you said to sell to these guys. Or can you be that blunt?
I am that blunt. I think that's exactly right. Do you know how I recruited right before Disney? I spent some time recruiting for a consulting firm called DLC. Now, the value prop at DLC was actually way better than for the Walt Disney Company for the people I was recruiting to. But that said, you have the expectation that if you're coming into a company with brand cachet, that ultimately the payoff is going to be a bigger job somewhere else, if not internally.
What?
So is that what you say to them? You know, you know what? You should cut down what you say by half, and we'll get to the point a little quicker. If it's a famous company, highly recognizable, it's going to be easier to get your next job when people see it on your resume. Is that what you're saying? Because they know it already. They know where you're coming from. Is that what you're trying to say, Matt?
Yes.
And I'm helping you?
That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
It's someone from an older generation helping a younger man from Gen Y, okay? So that's what you're saying. Go ahead, Mike.
I disagree.
Okay,
I think that in today's world, companies realize and people realize that if you're working in the startup space,
you can stop eating while you're talking, okay? Go ahead.
Can I disagree when I had a mouthful of pizza? I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that, you know, if you're working in the startup space or in a smaller company space, it's recognized today that you've taken on more responsibility and you've done more versus that you're working for Microsoft maintaining somebody's code for the first 5 years of your career. So I think that people that are working in the tech startup space today are actually more recognized as more talented engineers and developers than people that come out of those big companies, my opinion.
I agree with him.
And I do too. And let me qualify by saying that if you're talking about a position like engineering, then you're absolutely correct. Things like, in my world, marketing, recruiting, any of the what I would call cost centers as opposed to the profit centers, those are the ones where I think that big company experience trumps the startup environment. However, everyone wants to go work for the next big thing. So those who do go work for startups are doing so with the hope and expectation that they ultimately do grow into large companies.
Now, did you just call recruiting a cost center?
It absolutely is a cost center.
Really?
It is not a profit center. It does not make money for the organization. It costs organizations an enormous amount of money.
Hey, Stringer, was that you that asked the question?
It was.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Animal, Alan here. You're both right and you're both wrong.
It's a cost center to the stupid organizations. It's a profit center to the smart ones.
Thank you.
Okay, now, Kelly Dingy, I have to clarify something. He did hang up, and he pretended it was his VPN. He just wanted, you know, he was a prima donna. We weren't paying enough attention to him. The other people, the other callers were talking. He had to assert himself. Okay, Kelly, I saw your message from G+. Okay, people are on to you, Matt. Okay, so there we go. Next question. Chris Fleet question. You know, we're third-party recruiters. We're talking about how, you know, they're hiring people like us internally. They don't need us anymore. If we want to do business development with corporations, is there a great way to present ourselves that are going to suck up to them or meet their needs or, you know, make us friendly like you make yourself friendly to the people you want to sell to?
I think like any recruiter presenting any opportunity or any vendor presenting a product, you have to know the business and you have to be able to distinguish yourself by adding value. The third party recruiters I see succeeding and companies obviously like Korn Ferry, Kelly, any kind of larger global third party agency are starting to offer services employer branding. If you can help me distinguish my value prop, rewrite my job descriptions, and optimize my online profile, then you're adding more value than simply completing a transaction to put a butt in a seat. I can any idiot can do that, myself included.
Who do you make it to? How do you make that approach? Who do you make it to? Should I say it again?
Yeah. How do you make that approach? You figure out what it is your competitors are not offering and what the company needs, and you go in with an actionable plan to say, look,
okay,
if you work
you
with me, here's what I'll help
you. I'm trying to bring you down to reality. You want to say something, Jerry?
No, wouldn't me.
Okay, I'm trying to bring this guy down to reality. I'm saying, who do I talk to? What title? What do I say to the person? I'm a guy who likes to know what to say, okay? And you're going back, oh, find something to talk about. No, I want to talk about just what you told us to talk about, employment branding, you know, online presentation approval, whatever it is. How do you do that? What do you call
it? Let him role play with me, Animal, because I have a great response to that.
Okay. Role play with Mike A. Stringer. You're the recruiter calling up for business, Matt.
Okay. Hi, how are you doing? I'm Matt Charney. How's it going?
I have 3 seconds. What can I do for you, Matt?
Well, here's my caveat with this role play, Animal. I got into social recruiting because I was too lazy to make phone calls. I would never cold call a recruiter. I would first connect with them on LinkedIn, and I'd find a commonality to talk about. In this case, I'm not connected with Mike. I'm not looking at his profile. So this is hard for me to do.
Well, here was going to be my response, so let me just ask you the question.
Yeah.
Why in the hell would I go to my recruiting firm for branding when I've got an internal marketing department sitting 10 feet away?
Your internal marketing department is more than likely focused on things other than employer branding.
But you know what? When I come into companies, that's the one thing I do is sit down with whoever the marketing leader is and say, as much as we're building a brand for the product, we need to be building a brand for the company and the employment brand as well. And it's hand in hand. It goes together. If you guys are looking at my Facebook page or somebody did, I posted a video this morning that had nothing to do with recruiting but said, hey, this is what my client is doing. We build branding around what the marketing department is doing. Personally, I would never go to an external recruiting firm, to my recruiting vendor, and say, hey, can you help me with my branding? That's what I have an internal marketing department for.
Right. Absolutely.
All
but
right.
But taking that marketing brand and taking the consumer brand and distilling it into an employer brand is a completely different discipline. So I'll take Walt Disney as an example. I didn't recruit for Pixar or, you know, directors or development execs or animators. I recruited for roles under the corporate CFO. So that's things like tax, risk management, things of that nature. So with that said, those people don't necessarily think of Walt. Everyone knows who Walt Disney is. They don't think of that necessarily as a employer of choice. They don't necessarily think when they go see that castle translucently appear on a title card that in the back of their head, oh, A, also, There's a bunch of people who are running the finances behind this global brand. It's a matter of creating and distinguishing and taking the strengths of a consumer brand, but also transforming that into something that also talks about how there are actually career opportunities behind that brand, and that is a completely different exercise.
Well, you know what? I'll be fair to
you
and say that you're talking about Walt Disney.
Let me just finish, Mike. He'd be a more disciplined speaker. Well, if you're talking, I'm saying half the time. Cut it down. So just before, Mike, you go on, what's an employer brand? Because you guys are always saying the product brand can serve as the employment brand, and you're saying now it can't. And the employment brand, isn't it just what it's like to work there? Mike, when you put up a video, what do you mean by employment brand?
So the particular video I put up this morning was a video produced by the employees of a client of mine. And my simple comment was, do your employees sing about your company? You know what? It's things like that. It's the insight into what it's like to work for the company. But beyond that, who they are, what they do. And if I could just say to your guest, I'm going to be fair to you here and say, you keep talking about Walt Disney. I keep talking about 50 and 75 person tech startups. So we're in two different worlds, and maybe Walt Disney does go to their recruiting vendors for their employment branding, but certainly not a client that I work with.
Maddie? Fair enough. I do not have experience doing that for
But we
50
saw that somehow these smart recruiters at Korn Ferry and Heidrick Struggles, they're offering all kinds of consulting services. They see that as the way to make themselves earn some money when the recruiting demands go down. So
brings the conversation full circle, because the demand for external third-party recruiters, with the exception of people at the skill level of Jerry, and I mean that seriously, is diminishing, and these companies need to diversify and find other revenue streams.
Yeah, and it sounds like Matt doesn't say he could just approach a company and say, "Hey, I want to find a tax accountant for you." He has to say, "I'm gonna glam up your job description and something else as well, or you know, make you I don't know what else it was." But Matt,
right. So, Animal, here's what an employer brand is. Let's take your tax accountant. There are 100 companies in an area at any point in time at a major metropolitan area hiring that tax accountant. Same title, generally, same job responsibilities on the job description. Often, if your comp department or compensation leveling is doing the right job, the offers are going to come in the exact same. What is going to be the reason for that person taking one generic opportunity over another generic opportunity? That's employer branding. And that is having an affinity for, an insight to what it's like to work from that company and who your coworkers are actually going
to be. Give us a description.
And shame on the recruiter that's allowing their opportunity to be looked at as a generic opportunity. Shame on that recruiter.
Give me a concrete example. Give me a concrete example. Matt, do you have one, an example of somebody's employer brand, how they present it?
Yeah. So I think that a good example of that would be, let's see. So I'm trying to think.
Yeah, he's got no example.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
no
example. So Disney, yeah. I was trying to stay away from Disney. I can use Warner Brothers, who's across the street and hiring for the exact same roles with the exact
another freaking
same
big company.
Example. Senior analyst. Let's take a senior analyst role. Senior analyst role at Walt Disney and Warner Brothers looks the exact same and pays the exact same. The background for that is somebody who's a Big Four experience in an audit firm who has an active CPA and preferably then has some private company experience, have to have worked with SEC filings, consolidations, and that sort of thing. So given the fact that those are two giant entertainment companies, they're both across the street from each other. Both of those jobs involve driving past the gates and working on a studio lot every day. One company over the other? And the answer to that question,
can I answer it?
For both companies, is culture.
It's, and more specifically, it's the boss. Is the boss a dickwad or not?
You know what? That culture, I got to tell you, Matt, that's a thumbs down answer for me. I'm asking for, hey, Mr. Tax Accountant, you want to work here because you get free Cokes, or we'll take you out once a month.
Or the secretary is a hottie.
Yeah, come on. Don't leave it abstract. My, Matt, I beg
okay,
you.
Okay, I won't
I
leave it
you
abstract.
On the phone. Have a story. Have a story.
I'm a tax accountant.
Have a story.
Disney
don't tell me culture's
better.
Important.
Get her done.
So here's the thing.
It's your chance.
So here's the thing.
Pretend.
So here's a culture. So here's a cultural distinction I'll draw between those two for the tax accountant if I'm recruiting.
Do it.
Disney has a Parks and Resorts segment. I can offer you, as an employee of the Walt Disney Company, something Warner Brothers can't, which is, hey, we're a family company. As an employee, you get what's called a silver pass. It gets you and up to four guests into any Disney park and resort in the world for free. It gets you 50% off all merchandise. Guess what? That's your distinction right there.
Disney's a family company, even though every one of their movies has, like, a single parent, divorced parents, stuff like that.
It is absolutely the most family-oriented company that I've ever worked at, which is probably why I'm the longest.
Okay, Matt, is there anything
Animal, I have
about
a question.
No, let me just finish this. Is there anything that's not extraneous, like free tickets to movies, that that the person might be attracted to? I'm a tax accountant, and there's something about the way they do accounting at this company that's attractive to me. Is there anything like that that's part of the employment brand?
If he can't answer that, I
think that there absolutely is. And that's where the transparency component comes in. If I were to watch, let's say, and there are, look at Deloitte's site, and they're competing, obviously, with the other big three firms. If I can see or hear from somebody who's actually working in that position, if I have a career microsite or Facebook page that's tailored directly to them, I know, you know, that these are people like me. I need to be able to spot that affinity. And that
you know what?
We're almost done.
I just want everybody. I've been tackling this guy for 5 minutes. I begged him on Monday. We had a conversation. This is what I'm up against. I can't get these people to give a concrete. Yeah, I recruited this guy, and this is how I did it. This is how I used the employment brand to recruit a specific person. You refuse to do it, Matt. I want to point that out. Alan Fuhrer, did you say you can do it for him?
Unfortunately, I probably can. The sell for Disney beyond the family one would be Disney's more Disney from a perspective of improving your resume in Los Angeles and in entertainment is going to be so much higher and above Warner that once you're there in entertainment, you're going to have Sony, Warner,
yeah,
Paramount calling
you. What makes – okay, now, so you told me it's going to look better on your resume. Why? Why? Okay.
Because in Los Angeles – in Los Angeles, for CPA analysts, Disney's considered is considered the Google of finance in entertainment.
Okay, great. You didn't tell
Everybody
us why. You didn't tell us why. Okay, last words, Matt Cherney. Do you have something you'd like to say, a tip for recruiters or something about yourself? Do you have a closer for all those people listening to you?
Here's my closer. I think that – at the end of the day, Mark, we're talking about the distinction between marketing and recruiting. It's the same. Why do I go and work at a company? It's because of the relationships that I develop. And I think that being able to do that, to present that culture in a scalable way and being able to give that insight is something that a good recruiter can do. It's something that a good marketer can do. And I think that employer branding is absolutely going to put
– Animal, let me close it for him, okay?
Okay.
Hey, Mike, you want to do the after show?
I got to say this as a Jersey guy. On Matt's LinkedIn profile, whatever it is, he's got that he's a gangster. If this is what a gangster in L.A. sounds like, I'm coming to effing take over.
Come on over, Mike.
Okay. Matt, you charged.
He doesn't say gangster on his LinkedIn, does he?
On his Twitter, rather.
I was told that I couldn't sing Gin and Juice. To start the show due to censoring. So I have to play corporate horn now.
Really? That would have been awesome.
You know?
What can I say? You're the guy who's always saying nothing's for families, okay? This is a family show. Some of the people here have their kids listening to this show, okay?
Walt Disney would be proud.
Okay.
Matt sitting at his desk, all gangster, smoking blunt.
Matt.
Do I have my webcam on?
Matt Cherney. I'm happy you came on the show. You're welcome to come back. So we're going to get lots of questions for you. One day we'll make you learn how to talk like we talk, okay? But now we're going to the after show. You're not invited. Neither am I. But thank you!
See you, man.
Oh, love you, baby.
for this, man. I'm just book solid. How you doing, Mike? Busy?
Sipping on gin and juice.
Hey, Ace. Rolling down the street, smoking gin and juice, sipping on gin and juice. Oh, that was
somebody
horrible.
Called out my name. Somebody screamed out my name.
That was a strong signal. Hey, let's get the scores pretty quick. Alan, and then we'll do Mike.
I like Matt. This wasn't his absolute best presentation, but I like him. I'll give him 85. I'll give Animal was pretty
there's
animated today. I'll give him 87.
Jerry, there's a ton of people, okay?
Get off my show. I told you this before the show. Don't be jumping in here, dude. This is the same stuff I've been talking about for weeks now.
Oh, come on.
I'm sick of this.
Wait.
Uh-oh.
Is that why you have the baby on your picture, Jerry?
You guys don't know what's been going on, and I don't want to get into it, but it's that's all I'm going to say. All right, back to Animal's 80. Low score.
Animal 80, yeah.
Animal what?
Animal 85, Matt 87.
85?
He could have focused a little better, but animated.
He let this guy ramble.
I agree.
Come on.
Matt wasn't as prepared as he typically is.
I'm going to change your score to a 71.
Okay.
Ramble. All right, Kathy.
I didn't like this show at all. I hated it. Huh?
You hated this show, didn't you?
I didn't hate it, but it was... You know, what he does, I guess he may be popular, but we should all be able to do ourselves and not hire him. So, I don't know. He didn't add anything. I wasn't impressed.
I bet he'd be a good guy to hang out with and party. He seems pretty cool. I'm just not sure of an overwhelming need for his expertise.
Exactly. I don't get what the hype is. So
big companies get it because they're willing to spend the money to solve the problems without addressing some things.
Big companies
are willing to spend money on a lot of things they don't need.
Right.
No disagreement there.
I mean, we are just talking here about web traffic, right?
Matt.
Yeah.
I can't even finish a thought. Okay.
Hey, Kathy.
Yeah.
I think
the recruiter should be able to, you know, drive traffic to the website. I think this is ridiculous. Any good recruiter, corporate recruiter, can do that. So I'm going to give this guy a 70. I thought he was average. I thought Animal, I'll give him an 80 because he did the best with what he had.
Hmm.
I wasn't thrilled with this guy at all.
Not thrilled?
Well, you know, did I hear him right? Did he say he doesn't cold call? I mean, what's that all about?
He was just intimidated by having to do it with me.
Oh.
You know, I don't cold call often. And just last week, I found myself calling this company that I knew needed to hire this guy that I've got. And I actually said, hey, you know, I haven't actually cold called anybody in about 10 years, so if I'm a little rusty, you know, give me a second.
I'm having it a lot now because I'm looking.
Yeah.
I'm making a ton of them right now, which I don't normally do. But, you know, you do what you have to do.
You're cold calling to customers, right?
No, to candidates.
See, that's just recruiting. That's not cold calling. That's just recruiting. See, we aren't even using the same damn buzzwords out here anymore.
Well, I think
Jerry,
cold calling
I used that
is
approach
selling
once.
Your service to a damn customer.
I used that approach once when I was selling to a new client.
Yep.
I had a meet with the board of directors, and I sat down with these people looking at me, and I just thought, I am not prepared for this. So I started the meeting with, you know, I'm not really a salesperson. I've never really closed a deal before, so can you bear with me here?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Hey, hold on a second. Hey, talk amongst yourselves.
Kathy, how's life treating you?
How's life? I'm sick at the moment, actually, but I'm fine. I have a difficult search going on right now. So,
there's a lot of people on. Why don't you ask if there's some of the other people? Jerry's not interested in the other people. There's about 8 or 9 people on the call.
Hey, hold on a second. I take one bit. Again, here you are jumping in here, dude.
You can't trust the Canadian.
You're doing a lousy job. That's
no,
why.
I take one phone call. It's like you're sitting there waiting for me to mess up, dude. You're just sitting there. Wait.
You're ignoring the people who are afraid to speak without being called
I'm not talking
you,
around
hey,
on
hey,
and
hey,
on.
Hey, do any of you big mouths mind a question?
Yeah, hit it. Hit us.
Okay. Do any of you do any placement for salesmen?
Rebecca Sargent is looking for some kind of salesman or sales recruiter or people. That's who you need to talk to, Rebecca.
Hi.
Sargent.
Yeah.
Okay. Rebecca or anybody else, do any of you place salesmen with your company?
I don't.
No.
Sorry, man.
No. All right. So none of you have experience doing that. Okay. Because then I was going to ask you guys some questions. But since you don't have the experience, even though
we might be able to answer your questions, though.
I place a couple of salespeople. What do you need?
Well, I wanted to find out, how do you know whether or not the salesmen that you've placed are actually good salesmen or not?
That's a good question.
Yeah, get their reports. You know, get them to produce reports. A good salesperson is going to know their numbers, and they're going to be able to quantify them for you with actual reports.
Reports supplied by whom?
Whoever they've sold to. So their managers would have had production reports on those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I place recruiters, they have to provide me with the actual reports year over year.
Couldn't they just make that up, though?
No, that's something that comes standard from their company, and I want to see.
I could make a fake sales report.
Well, even if the sales report is as accurate, how do you still know if the person can actually sell or not? Now, they've been selling for that particular company, but how do you know whether or not the figures are good figures, relatively speaking?
Yeah.
Because I deal with metrics, so lay it on me. How do you know the metrics are accurate, and how do you know the metrics are actually relevant?
Lay it on them, big mouth.
This is out of my realm, so whoever wants to answer that is fine with me. I'd like to know the nature of the question, though. I mean, where's this all going? Are you looking to hire somebody?
No,
you need a sales recruiter?
No, hell no. I used to work for a couple of recruiting firms, but I used to be a salesman, and I never got a job through recruiters. I only had to do it by myself because the people that I talked to didn't know shit about sales.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know?
Well, a lot of people in most professions don't know shit about it.
Well, I don't know about most professions.
Well,
most
sales professions. Most people are just treading water to get their draw check until they can find something that they really excel at, which would not be sales.
Yeah,
and I purposely
probably
didn't answer this question until I heard where it was going, but I've actually done a significant amount of sales recruiting, and the fact of the matter is that most markets in this country, companies don't need to use recruiters to find salespeople because there's 50 people waiting in line for a job.
The only thing is, though, is when you put your resume up on Monster or some of the other job search engines, you get bombarded by hundreds of recruiters who say, I have reviewed your qualifications, and according to your qualifications, you seem well suited for this particular job. And then when you talk to the people, they didn't even read the resume.
We can't defend all recruiters that suck here. I mean, that's not what this recruiters conversation is about.
Okay.
Although
no
it is a good idea, I'm going to start a blog talk radio show called Defending Recruiters Who Suck.
Yeah, I can't do it. Recruiters should not call anybody and tell them how great they are. Never.
Stop asking these questions. I'm just curious.
If you actually did try a blog talk radio show like that about defending recruiters, you'd have to put it under the category of science fiction because you just couldn't do it.
I can only defend myself.
All right, well, the girl there says that she's a place salesman. All right. Okay, guys, I'll let you guys get back to your
show. Yeah, man, enjoy. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Later.
Who was that?
Who cares? Okay, Mike, we need a score
from
you.
As much time as you did, because I would have cut him off already.
Yeah, I'm doing other stuff.
Rebecca
you're
has great
animal
answers. Rebecca always has great answers. I like her.
But Rebecca, anybody can fake a report. So how do you actually verify somebody's sales? That'd be hard to do.
You can't really verify, but somebody who has to make up a report and doesn't have it at their fingertips,
which might be a salesperson.
your top producers again know their numbers and they're going to spit them off to you, and they're going to want to prove to you, so they're going to want to give you the reports. The guys that are sketchy and are like, "Well, I have to get back to you," you obviously know that they're not going to provide you the right stuff. And if you really want to prove it, you get them to give you a reference for a client.
If I'm trying to find out if somebody can sell or not, they need to sell me.
Yeah, they have to close you, right?
So, but I okay, so who didn't give us a score here? Rebecca.
I like the show today, 95 and 95. Really, the conversation was interesting all the way around the table today, just with everybody being engaged and the did I agree with everything? No, I didn't agree with everything, but I think the conversation was a good conversation.
Okay. Cool. Thanks. Mike.
So, Jerry, I always have a problem with people who are trying to sell ancillary services to us. In other words, like, go be an effing recruiter or fail at it and go do something else, but don't go be a recruiter, fail at it, and then try and sell us on how great you are and how much you know about our industry. So
right.
I automatically came into this conversation with feeling pretty negative against this guy. That being said, he droned on and on and on, and I still don't know what the hell he does. But at the end of the day, as I said during the show, if I need help building an employment brand, if I need help marketing our careers webpage, if I need help with social media when it comes to recruiting, I'm walking down the hall to the marketing department. I'm not going to my recruiting firm. That doesn't even make sense to me. So I'm giving him a 50 for his presentation, his droning on and on and on, and the fact that I just don't see a need for what he does. And I'm giving Animal a 50 also for bringing this clown onto the show and for not making him shut the hell up.
You know what? I agree with you, Mike. I always agree with you. I didn't get this guy. I'm sorry.
Although I have to say that I am pretty excited that, Jerry, you and I got the curse on this show and Animal didn't stop us once.
Yeah, I was going for it. I would never use the F-bomb, though. And you would if people would let you.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't.
Was one of those kids the bill collector for Mike?
No, that's Hannah, the power closer.
They're cute. Very
yeah,
cute.
They're fun. They're homesick today.
Aw, they were the highlight of the show, I thought.
Well, they're nice, and they said, "Hey, your Animal show's today, right?" And I said, "Yeah." They said, "Can we be on it?" I said, "Yeah, come on into the office, and we'll put you on the phone." So.
That's the difference between our kids. I once had the Animal show on the Bluetooth when my family and I were driving to Florida, and they were like, "Seriously, can you shut this off?"
I know.
Well, I don't make them listen to it, and they have no idea how stupid it is. Excuse me, entertaining it is.
You know what, Jerry? I'm really shocked that you like June and Juice, because I was going to post that on my Facebook page, but you were the one person I was afraid I would offend, so I didn't post it.
You were seriously afraid of offending Jerry? Come on.
I didn't want to offend anybody. I mean,
I go out of my way to offend Jerry.
Yeah, but that's your relationship.
I'm not really easily offended. Unless it's a personal attack on me. No, I'm not offended,
Okay.
Gay porn might offend me if it's like just jammed in my face and I had to, hold my eyes open to it. That would offend me.
What about other than that,
I'm good.
What about heterosexual?
Right, Jerry, unless it's one of your titles, then you're not offended.
If it's in my private collection, then obviously I'm okay with it.
You're not offended by heterosexual.
Okay, so any other scores here, good people? I'll give my score. I think Matt Charney is probably a heck of a guy. But we're not here to talk about him as a person. I still don't see how some of these people, what they're selling people. I don't understand it. I got a new white paper today, or a link to a white paper that is about some company's product, and as it's mentioned in there, even though this company underwrote the white paper, that didn't influence the findings of the white paper. Well, really? So if I pay you to publish a white paper on my product, you just put a disclaimer down at the bottom that says, oh, that didn't influence my review of this product. I'm just sick of all this. There are these great people. I like these different people. But I'm just not sure of the whole culture of floating around, having drinks or talks with other industry thought leaders. I just don't understand the whole world of it. I don't know if I'm pissed or just confused.
I think, Jerry, you and I need to figure out a way to make money just walking on the beach, holding hands and drinking margaritas.
With John Sumser.
Yeah.
He's a strong man. I mean, you would feel comfortable holding hands with him. You would feel safe. It is my speculation. I don't know if that's really true or not. I've never done it. But I don't understand it. Maybe there's a world where people just, and I'm not, this is an off topic, so this isn't about Matt Charney. This is really about the second topic. Maybe it's okay to just get companies to sponsor your flight to this conference and they cover your room, and maybe that's how you pay your room and board all year. I don't know. It's just odd to me. And I don't want to know any more about it than I do. But stop using your, quote, influence out here to stick your crappy product in my face. I don't connect with people on social media so they can then blast out their crap because some vendor paid them for their followers and friend links and likes and crap. I don't know. Am I just too old school? Am I rambling?
No, I agree with you.
I'm just sick of it. Oh, so there you have it, people. My score is Matt Charney, 72, Animal, 64. He let him ramble on too much. And if it would have been really interesting, would have loved it. And again, Matt Charney, can't wait to meet this guy somewhere and party.
So well, you want to comment on me to log on and click in and whatever.
What was that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What was that? I'm trying to
what
make
it. I'll go to Blog Talk Radio at 6.
You're calling back at 6?
It's our forum. Car Radio, Carrie, HR.
You're in the Caribbean?
Right.
With Matt Charney right now?
Okay.
What?
All right. Party down, Matt. Sounds good.
Party?
You're with Matt Charney in the Caribbean partying down right now? Is that what you just said?
Matt Charney with the Caribbean party.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
All right, guys, got to take this call. See you, Jerry.
Everybody, any other scores that I need?
Is that Jamaican guy on this thing?
Yep.
It's not you.
Matthew Charney. Does that ring a bell with you?
No, well, not anymore. I'm coming off with it.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so my sister hasn't answered me, so she's probably about to...
Bye, Jerry. Bye, everybody.
See you guys. So your sister's having a baby?
No, why won't you shut up?
I don't know, but your sister is having Matt Charney's baby?
Skype close? Can I close Skype?
Yeah, you can shut her down. Hit the big X button over in the corner. Blammy! Hey, Animal.
Shut it down. There's a big X corner.
It's
thing in the corner.
Animal.
Yeah.
What's going on here, man? Did this lady have Matt Charney's baby and she was trying to track him down?
I don't know.
I'm just hearing me. And I can't shut down this crap.
Should we end the show?
Yeah, hold it. I like that. She said, I need to shut down this crap. Can we help you shut off Skype? Do you want to shut off Skype? Hello, Mrs. Charney.
Yes, Charlie, I want to shut it off.
Okay. Are you on Skype?
Yes, I'm on Skype.
Okay, where are you, though? What country?
I'm in the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And do you know Matt Charney personally?
No, I don't.
Okay. So you accidentally called the recruiting animal show or on purpose?
No, I clicked on the recruiting animal show on purpose because then maybe you can join me on my show later.
Well, what show is it? We just might.
Pardon me?
What show is it?
Carib HR Radio.
Okay, how do I spell that? Carrot HR?
C-A-R-I-B.
Oh, Carib HR.
Right, radio.
Carib HR Radio. Is that your Twitter name?
No, that's actually the name of the that's the name of the show.
Okay, on Blog Talk Radio?
No, it's not on Blog Talk Radio. It's on radio.caribhrforum.com.
Okay, and when is your show?
At 6 o'clock.
That's like that's after 5.
Yeah, that's after 5.
Do you know Recruiting Animal?
No, I don't know Recruiting Animal, actually.
Okay, so where did you see his link that you clicked on it? Because this is you're now on a global recruiting show.
I know. Blogspot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there are probably 5,000 other recruiters around the globe that are listening right now. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Nothing?
No, what do you want me to say?
No, I mean, advertise your show a little bit. Tell us what you do. That kind of stuff.
Well, I'm actually an HR consultant, and I have my own company. So
okay.
I do a little recruitment.
Okay.
From time to time. But I offer HR services to small companies that don't have an HR department.
Awesome.
Right. Or radio show, Carib HR Forum, actually is a group of Caribbean HR professionals that come together to share our experiences and give advice and share stories and stuff.
Do you have a blog or a website for your Carib HR?
CaribHRForum.com.
Okay. And so where are you in the Caribbean? What island?
I am in Jamaica, but we have people from all over. Barbados, Trinidad, Antigua, St. Lucia.
Awesome. All right, do you have a Twitter name? Are you on Twitter?
No, I'm not on Twitter.
And you're in human resources, yet you're not on Twitter? That's hard to believe.
Can you imagine?
Well, you're doomed.
I'm doomed.
Well, I'm going to track you down. My name's Jerry Albright, and I'll track you down somehow and connect with you and listen to your radio show. Sounds great.
All right, Jerry. Thanks.
Okay, bye. Now your only option is to pull the plug on your computer on the wall.
I just need to turn it off, huh?
That's your only option.
Okay, cool.
Okay, take it easy.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, everybody.